This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu, and it is Tech Thursday today, and it's the last Thursday of the month. So of course we have Victor Yap from PC Mag Southeast Asia.
Oh, hello.
Victor, it's been a crazy month again.
Yes.
More devices and all that kind of stuff. But I think the highlight, the biggest one of them all for this month was Google. With the Pixel and the Pixel XL was launched on the 4th of October.
Yes.
And it's reached to your hands in some ways, right?
In a way. Actually, the leaks for the device from Google is been around for a while. Yeah. Rumors been running around showing the devices, how it looks like, how it operates and everything. But even then, the launch itself was still massive.
Yeah.
The response to the device is mind-blowing in many ways.
I found it interesting when they released the phone, and I realized a lot of, just from my social feeds, I realized a lot of the Apple fanboys were like, wow, this is so cool. Like, you know, Google Pixel,
okay,
I
didn't know. Okay.
And a lot of my Android fans were like, you know.
They're used to it.
They're
really
used to it. Yeah, and I go like, wow, that's interesting. And then I realized, hang on a minute, it actually looks a lot like the iPhone. And I think maybe there is a pie that Google wants to take. And
yeah,
it's probably the Apple iPhone.
Probably so.
Pie,
from the front, it does look like it, right?
Yeah.
But because, like you said just now, I got hands on the device because a colleague of mine actually bought it from Australia for a very high price, right? And surprisingly, it works in Malaysian networks.
Yeah.
So he brought it back, and I had a look at it, and I'm like, okay, pictures don't do it justice.
Mm. How's that dual tone back at the?
Oh,
the back?
It's basically glass.
Because it looks on pictures.
It's glass and metal.
Yeah.
Because the metal part is not is smooth. There's no issues. The glass gets fingerprints.
Mm.
But the what stood out for me at the back was the fingerprint sensor. It's huge. It's nothing like what you see on the Huawei P9 or the Samsung. The defunct Samsung Note 7, that fingerprint scanner.
Even the 6P as well?
Yeah, it's bigger than that.
And
it fits nicely with any finger size.
Mm.
So there's no worry of like pressing it multiple times and to get the sensor wrong and everything. You just click. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
The device itself is quite impressive in terms of specs because...
So there's two devices.
Yeah.
One is a Pixel and the Pixel XL.
Yeah.
Okay,
both have the same specs.
Which is...
Right now, the 5-incher is a full HD screen. The 5.5 inches, 1440p screen. That's the only difference. But in terms of specs, they were both running on Qualcomm Snapdragon quad core CPU. They have 32 gig and 128 gig storage configurations. Up to you.
Mm.
Yeah, 12.3 megapixel camera and 4 gigabyte of RAM.
Mm.
Right.
So the only difference is then
the size.
The size of the screen.
Yeah, that's it. So it's not very far-reaching in terms of difference.
Mm.
But
does this tell you something about something similar from another brand as well, right? So hence I'm saying, you know, it feels like the way they're doing this is trying to really go after.
No, but you see, the Apple has a 5-point-something-something inch and a six close to 6-inch, right? This is 5 and 5.5. So it's comfortable.
Yeah.
And I had in my hand the 5.5-inch because
right,
that's the 128 gig variant.
Mm.
And it's perfect. Mm. It's the way I handled it, the way I fiddled with the fingerprint scanner, the way I use Google Assistant on the phone, no problems.
Wow.
It's smooth. One hand operations is great. And
I'm keen to see the Pixel, not the XL, because I'm a big fan of
small phones.
Of not small phones, but the Nexus 5.
Ah,
that one phone
really
took me away because I never really loved the phone, even when, you know, I took it out of the box.
Yeah.
I got it as a birthday present a while ago, and for me, I was just like, you know, it looks so plain and dull, but I fell in love with it after, you know, maybe about 2 months of using it.
Which is what a lot of Nexus users say.
Yeah.
Because the only reason why my colleague got it is because he had the Nexus
5.
4.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Or Nexus 5, I'm not sure. But either one of the devices.
But they were the same sizes. Yeah.
So when he saw it in Australia, like, I need to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got it. And interestingly enough, when he bought it, because he was there for a media junket, the Singapore media who saw him bought the phone bought three after
what?
That. Yeah.
I don't think my kidney is even, you know, be able to buy one.
Yeah, it's a bit pricey right now.
It is.
There's no forward confirmation from Google all from the manufacturer, the HTC, that the device will reach Malaysia or Singapore.
Right.
But hopefully you will be getting it. Interestingly enough, I like I said just now, I had experience using Google Assistant, and I used the software itself, the Nougat. It was perfect.
Yeah.
The I'm not sure how the loaders will work in the future when Nougat rolls out to Samsung, HTC, and Huawei and so on, right? But on the Pixel, it feels oddly, and this is being positive, like a Windows phone. Remember how Windows...
How is that positive, though? Yeah.
No, you know the Windows phone where they had the two, the slide thing between the main page and the app page? You just slide between...
Yes.
Same thing. So you have your main home screen. Left, right will give you the other home screens. But when you up and down, will call up the app drawer. So it feels like a Windows phone in a way.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So it feels like an iOS plus Android la, in that sense.
In a way.
Because it's a Huawei. Well, Huawei has that kind of OS, which is left to right.
Yeah, correct.
And then the normal, like Samsung Galaxy, you know, it's the, you know, you pull the menu.
No, you click on the app drawer. Yeah, but this one is you slide it up. Yeah, so it feels like a Windows phone. Not more of a Android plus iOS, but more Android plus Windows. Because your home screens are still there exactly like Android, but they removed the app drawer button. So I'm not sure if in other vendor devices, when they get Nougat, will have the change as well. But on the Nougat,
this feels special on the Pixel. And yeah. I think it really, if you just want to experience Nougat at its best, the Pixel is the phone.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
Even though I think the 6P will get Nougat as well.
Yeah, all devices will get the Nougat.
But I think it's a slightly different version because I think
the app drawer is still present in a way.
Yeah, so I think Google Assistant and the way that it's present around the Pixel, I think it's a lot more prominent than any other of Nougat devices. And
And then the Google Assistant, when I used it, right? I mean, I just had spent about a minute with it. So intuitive. You know how we talk to Cortana on Microsoft or Siri on Apple and Google's own voice command on our Android devices? They have always this slight nuance that doesn't make it perfect. Google Assistant on Nougat, perfect.
Wow.
Because I just asked about the weather. Normal, right?
Yeah.
It tells me, the weather is at like this. And this is a temperature in Celsius. And this is not configured. It's already pre-made. In Petaling Jaya, I didn't even ask where the weather was, you know. It tells me immediately the location. So it knows where the phone is and just tells straight away. And then we asked something novel like, how was the score for the FA FA Cup a couple of days ago? It pulled out the thing. Okay, then we asked follow-up question. Who scored the goal for
it
Chelsea?
It still knows it was the conversation.
Then it just continued the conversation like, perfect.
Yeah. If you want to experience how Google Assistant actually fully works, you can download Google Allo.
Yeah.
That is an app that also utilizes on Google Assistant.
Correct, but only in that.
Only in that app. Yeah. Where else, you know, Nougat on the Pixel and the Pixel XL is throughout the entire device itself.
Yeah.
But if you just want to feel like, you know, how is it like to talk to an AI assistant and to a bot in that sense, Google Allo has that, you know, assistant bot. It's a chat messaging app like WhatsApp and Telegram. You can chat with any of your friends.
But it's perfect.
Assistant is in there to help you. And it's really cool because I've tried it out with a friend of mine and, like, you know, you just talk about, you know, hey, let's set out, you know, where should we head out tonight? And on a message, you know, using Google Allo. And then while the message was being sent to my friend, Google Assistant actually recommended places nearby me. And then, do I want to recommend this place to my friend?
Okay.
It does it all automatically in that sense. So Google Allo, A-L-L-O on the Play Store. You can check it out.
But that one's a bit risky for me because I feel security...
It's reading your text in
that
sense. You know?
That's right.
But it's technology, right?
That's true.
We will probably save that discussion for another time because it will just go on. It will never stop.
Correct. Let's
talk about the camera though, because I know Google was shouting about, you know, the DxO...
it's the highest scoring,
highest score,
right? It's
ever
89,
in 89.
Yep.
Reality though, how is it like?
I've used it. I tried the slow-mo, the time-lapse, and I even did the video panning. Smooth as anything. It's smoother than what I've experienced on the Huawei P9 and the Galaxy, the Samsung Galaxy S7.
Wow.
Yeah. And even in low-light conditions, because I shot the video in the restaurant, things were brighter. Visual clarity is actually sharper. Yeah. Though there were some issues that I noticed, and there was a bit of a lens flaring. And an article came out today that on Petapixel that there is a lens flare complaint by multiple users for the Google Pixel.
Oh.
Yeah, so there is an issue. But I think it's more software than anything else. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hopefully there'll be an update soon. And so it is as good as what they claim to be.
Correct.
But it's, you know, there are also competitors like, you know, I think the S7, the iPhone 7 Plus,
mm-hmm.
And also the Huawei P9. I think those cameras are also equally as good.
Correct.
It's very hard to decide.
But the thing is, the user interface for the phone, the camera on the Google Pixel, it's totally different. It's more seamless. Because I know for a fact, I'm a Huawei P9 user now.
Ah.
Permanent P9 user, right? And switching between video and the stills, very easy. Just press the button next to it. On the Honor 8, it's just about swiping left and right.
Mm.
But for the Pixel, when you click on video, it'll ask you, normal video, time-lapse video, or whichever effects you want, immediately like, oh, it's very smart.
All right.
Yeah.
And just as a disclaimer, I'm a Samsung Galaxy S7 Edge user.
So we
were both Android users.
Yep.
Anyways, we'll go for a short break, but when we come back, we'll talk about the DDoS attack that happened recently that caused Twitter, Netflix, Reddit, GitHub, everyone went down. Basically, the internet went down.
Yeah.
And it's actually very scary. We'll find out in just a moment. BFM 89.9.
Bloggers for Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
And we're back with Victor Yap from PC Mag Southeast Asia. And early on, we were discussing about Google and their Pixel and Pixel XL phones. Moving along to Razer, they've officially acquired THX, which is the guys who make that, you know, that noise.
Deep bass note, right? For the movie cinemas, yeah.
Yeah. So they're now expanding beyond gaming. What's Razer doing here?
Actually, Razer did not hint at this purchase. And when it announced in a German conference, hey, we're doing this, the world was like stunned. Okay, how did Lucasfilms, you know, suddenly sold this part of itself to Razer, right? A gaming company. Apparently because I think Razer proved itself on many levels in the sense that they don't just do gaming peripherals anymore, notebooks. They also have audiophile headsets, sound, mini soundbars, and even main soundbars. The Razer Leviathan is a main soundbar, right? And they also do video streaming and audio streaming now. So it made sense for them to step forward and expand their horizons. That still tie back to the gaming in a way.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you will probably, hopefully, might be able to see like a THX surround sound headphones.
Oh,
by
yes.
Razer.
I'm looking forward to that. I expect next year, the Razer Krakens, the Razer Adaros.
Yeah. THX enabled.
Yeah, right. They will have that in
mind blown.
in their headset, right? So imagine when you play games.
Or every time
immersive.
You turn on the headphones, it creates that THX.
That deep bass note.
Whenever you turn on the headphones.
Okay.
If they do that, THX, Razer, if you're listening, that one feature, whenever you turn on the
that'd
headphones,
be awesome.
Will be a THX surround music.
Oh. Because I'm using both the Razer Leviathan and the Razer Leviathan Mini.
Mm.
The Mini is the Bluetooth version, speaker, right?
Right.
The Leviathan is very simple. Turn it on, that's it.
Mm.
The Mini actually has this introduction sound when you turn it on. And it sounds a lot like the deep note bass.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm hoping, like you said, right, when you turn on the new Leviathan or the new headsets, boom, you get that sound.
That sound, right. So let's see if we can play this sound and let me hear if you remember this. Alright, this doesn't seem to be working, but you would know which is the sound. Anyways, they also announced the third Razer device, which is the Razer Blade Pro.
Yeah, this came out a week after they announced the purchase of THX.
Mm.
And everyone's been wondering, okay, we've seen the Razer Blade, we've seen the Razer Blade Stealth, we've seen the refreshes of Razer Blade and the Razer Blade Stealth, but where's the Pro? The one with the nice touchpad on the side where it acts as a numpad. Finally, Razer said, here you go.
Mm.
The reason why they delayed the rollout of the Razer Blade Pro, the 2016 edition, and they likely jumped the Razer Blade Pro from 2015 is because they rebuilt everything from the ground up.
Oh, wow.
So, of course, you have your i7s.
This is just top of the line. Like,
yeah.
32 gigs of DDR4 RAM, NVIDIA GTX 1080.
Correct.
It's like 2 terabytes of PCI M.2 SSD.
Yeah, so this thing is insane, right?
Crazy.
It's off the charts. So easily, you're looking at paying above 10,000 ringgit or more.
I'm more.
A lot more. Because keep in mind, right, this is not the normal 14-incher.
Yeah.
It's a 17-inch. Full HD.
20,000, I think.
Yeah. Maybe. But, you know, it's something that's worth looking into getting.
Definitely. Now, let's try again and see if we have the THX sound that we can play. Yeah, basically that was the sound, that THX.
Whenever that's you awesome,
turn on,
right?
If you ever turn on the headphones, yeah, and then you hear that sound.
Oh, awesome.
Anyways, Kaspersky, they released their statistics from the Security Network Cloud Services for July and September 2016.
Yeah, this is something that...
This is the third quarter
correct.
Report,
it's a third quarter report that they announced at their recent Bali conference. Yeah. It's a regional security conference.
And we're talking about this because there's something really scary. 49% of APAC internet users actually suffer from cybercrime issues.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it, it's like this is nearly one in every 2% that you know.
Correct.
That is scary.
Because not because we're not secured, but because security threats are so advanced now. There's no way we can cover everything. And right. And like say today you cover one base, right? Maybe your advanced persistent threats, or maybe your firewall, anti-malicious activities with firewall and whatnot, right? Then next day there's a new style of security threats that you have to look into again.
Yeah. Because there's endless possibilities when it comes to, you know, networks and internet. And
the
stuff.
Bad guys are just a step ahead of the game. Yeah. And Kaspersky has correctly pointed out that they are looking into trying to prevent the bad guys from getting ahead by doing things by thinking like the bad guys, doing things that will make it more more innovative for the security vendors to ensure that they are able to block any attempt by the threat actors.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And speaking of that, like just recently, a massive DDoS attack happened that took down Din DNS. It is one of the largest DNS providers in the US.
Correct.
It affected basically Spotify, Netflix, GitHub, Reddit. They all went down. Everyone
correct,
was saying
correct.
It's like the internet went down because of an oven. It was a smart oven in that sense.
Yeah.
The reason being is because they hacked into these devices, which is, you know,
all these IoT devices.
IoT devices.
Yeah. Actually, what happened was Din DNS was attacked twice.
Wow.
So the first round of DDoS by this, no one has actually admitted who did it, right? But the security vendors discovered that a Mirai botnet source code, which was released earlier in the month, has been used to actually hack into all these Internet of Things devices and harness them for free to massively hit out at these the Din DNS provider. So, of course, the first round came, they mitigated it, they made sure it won't happen again. Then, a larger wave approached and they couldn't stop it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so the first round, Twitter went down, Reddit went down, GitHub went down. Then, the after they stopped it, they thought they were ready for the next one. And the next one came and those same platforms went down, the content providers went down, along with Netflix.
Wow.
And parts of the other Spotify.
Yeah, Spotify.
Yeah,
as well.
Thinking, okay, is it a US issue? No. Because there were complaints on Twitter around the world that, hey, something's not right. Why is everything not working properly?
It just felt really slow.
Yeah. I mean, you were telling me just now that in Malaysia, there were complaints that there's full outage, right?
So, I remember seeing people on my Facebook and complaining, is that anyone able to access Netflix?
Yeah. So we were thinking maybe it might be a TM problem, but it's not. Mm. Actually, because the Din DNS in US was hit. And when I was in Tokyo last week, all services were slow, even though it was supposed to be high-speed mobile 4G and all that stuff, right?
It's, we rely on them still, no matter what.
Because at the end of the day, DNS is your phone book. It's the yellow pages of the internet. And if that's hit, and Malaysia had experiences before.
Many times.
If that has been hit or affected in any way, a lot of services will go down.
Moving along, Cooler Master is the guy who, whenever you mention the name, I just think of those really
casings,
super cool,
right?
PC casings, they've announced the Cooler Master Mini Mod Invitation.
Yeah, the only reason why I brought this up today, only because it is the contest for making, for modding PC casings, which is actually not new. It's new in the way today,
the way that they're doing it,
because it's the smallest PC case in the world.
So it's called Mini Mod.
Yeah, so they're actually modding a very tiny, maybe like 3-inch, 2.5-inch case representation of the full case. They actually made cardboard cutouts of their Cooler Master Masterbox 5 and the three variants. So it's an invitational. So that means they invite multiple modders and PC overclockers who do these kind of things around the world to take part. And one of the contestants is a guy named, goes by the handle GoFries. He's Malaysian.
Uh-huh.
And he is actually running in the contest along with the other 14 contestants to try and win the goal for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So hopefully we will know more.
The voting actually starts next week.
Starts next week.
So the public actually can go in and vote for their favorite machines.
Right.
So you know, Malaysians, right? We're supposed to support get GoFries to the win.
And you will share the link on your Facebook page.
Yeah, yeah, it's already the voting page link is already in the story.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
We'll reshare it.
Now moving along to a couple of shout outs. Actually more than a couple of shout outs.
Yeah.
Three shout outs.
Yeah.
It's all yours.
Well, first off, this is tied in the Halloween. Pokemon Go has an update right now that actually boosts a couple of Pokemon types, ghost types or ghost related types. So if you're walking around the street, driving around slowly, you notice that there's a high incidences of bats or ghastly or ghosts appearing. So this is part of a Halloween campaign that Pokemon Go is doing.
Mm. Are you still playing Pokemon Go, Victor?
Once in a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I've uninstalled it on my phone already. I'm maxing out on my phone.
The reason why they do this is because they want to get back entice users like you who left the game.
Yeah.
Because on top of picking up ghost-type Pokemon, candy collection has been boosted. So more when you capture Pokemon, you get 2 or the 4, I'm not sure. And when you walk with your buddy Pokemon, which is actually another update previously, you also get extra candy to help.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
The other shout out is Microsoft.
Yes. They just announced
blew
yesterday
my mind.
Night. Yeah.
They just blew my mind.
Actually, they teased this first, right? Windows updates and everything for the creators.
Yeah.
New 3D painting, new HoloLens integration to Windows 10, environment.
Yeah.
And then they revealed Xbox One, how they're gonna integrate the app into the Windows 10.
I just 10. Was like, you know, I'm not interested because it's not happening here in Malaysia.
then the next thing came out was the Surface lineup.
Yeah, it was literally the bullet to my mind because I just blown away by it. The Surface Studio.
Yeah.
Wow, what a device! It's what every single all-in-one device you would want.
Yeah.
Especially if you're an artist or a designer.
Well, actually, that came later because thinking, it's just a 27-inch. Thing with two,
just was like a normal all-in-one,
cool
very cool all-in-one,
and then it has a wireless dial. All right, great, excellent. Then when you fold it down, it didn't split.
Yeah.
Not like the Surface Book,
no.
But it folded down. Like, okay, this is awesome. And then when you put the dial on the screen and you use it to interact with the screen, like Minority
Done.
Report.
Yeah.
We're here.
We're here.
Yeah.
And also because you know they've also got the HoloLens, the new HoloLens, and you just look at like. Not so far ahead in the future, maybe just a year from now, all these devices will be in your homes and it will be such a norm. And you go like, this is Minority Report.
Correct. All this Star Trek and Star Wars,
so
right?
Cool,
yeah. It's insane.
It is really insane.
Yeah.
I think Microsoft really just, you know, completely stunned me. I was not prepared to see something like a Surface Studio.
Well, actually, the there were leaks, but not so clear cut as like what happened with Apple and with Google, right?
Yeah.
And innovation actually just doesn't tie down with Microsoft. Even Xiaomi also had an announcement.
Yeah. Everyone was sharing this link on Facebook saying like, you know, Xiaomi is already selling the dream phone, your dream phone.
Yeah.
And I clicked on the link and oh my God, it is my dream phone.
Yeah, it's for good reason, right? Pixel was mind-blowing.
Yeah.
But the Xiaomi Mi Mix, that one was outstanding.
It's a full glass display.
Yeah.
It literally has 91.1%
Nearly bezel-less actually.
Wow.
Yeah,
crazy.
And the funny thing is that there's no earpiece.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the phone frame itself is your speaker.
Yeah.
So they actually took that, headphone on your head instead of the ears and vibrate your skull for the sound. They did that for your phone, right? With the Mi Mix actually had that technology.
Wow.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And then they also introduced the sensors underneath the glass.
Mm.
So it operates exactly like the Mi 5S. So you don't actually have to press the scanner for your fingerprint. Now, the sensors itself will be able to detect movement underneath the glass. There's no way you have to worry about any blockage or any interruption.
But
perfect.
This is probably a limited device.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not going to come to Malaysia, I guess.
Well, that's what Xiaomi actually said just now. I nearly said Samsung. That's what Xiaomi said just now. Xiaomi said, we have no plans to roll out China just yet.
Mm.
Malaysia is not on the launch pipeline, but they are going to pull out the Xiaomi Mi Home concept store. With that coming out, likely we'll see the Mi Note 2 and the Xiaomi Mi Mix, hopefully.
Nice. And also, if you love the, you know, if you've seen the picture of the Mi Mix, you would also probably it's not the first time some a phone manufacturer has done this.
Oh, no, no.
Sharp,
it's not. Yeah.
They actually make phones.
Yep, but mid-range, not flagships.
Mid-range phones, yeah. They actually have a device that was...
It's quite close to it. But they still have the earpiece, that's the
problem. Earpiece, yeah. But the front-facing camera is actually at the bottom because, you know, almost all of it is a screen.
So technically, what Xiaomi did was not new.
Yeah.
But the technologies they used to create it
was very...
It's groundbreaking. Yeah.
That sound thingy. Anyways, Victor, it's been a pleasure. We'll speak again in 1 month's time.
Yes.
To round up November. You can check out all the stories on PC Mag. You can find them on Facebook, or you can even go onto the website, which is
sea.pcmag.com.
All right. Yeah. Or you can just go on Facebook, just type PC Mag SEA. And
yeah, sure you'll sure there. Come up, correct.
Victor, thank you so much. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to BFM.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.